Exodus chapter 28 and the first five verses. And take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. Even Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother, for glory and for beauty. And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise-hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And these are the garments which they shall make: a breastplate, and an ephod, and a robe, and a broidered coat, a mitre, and a girdle. And they shall make holy garments for Aaron thy brother and his son, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And they shall take gold, and blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine linen. Now we do trust that God will grant his blessing to the reading of his word once again tonight. I thought for this couple of nights, child of God, we would just draw a few things from the priesthood. And I do trust that God will bless it to us, and that it might be a help to us to understand something of the high ground that God has brought us to, and the privilege that is yours, and the privilege that is mine, to be able to move before the Lord in a priestly way. Now, when we come to look at these verses, we want to, during the conference, we were taking a look, that is a conference at Corroy, of course, we were taking a look for a little at the desire of God for a tabernacle. That tabernacle we saw at the conference was the dwelling place of God here upon the earth, and it was a little picture of God's assembly. If you young men want to get to know anything about what the assembly is about, take a look at the tabernacle. If you want to take a look and know how we ought to worship, then take a look at the offering. And if you want to see something, as we're going to do tonight, something of the great honour that God's given you and God's given me to be able to move before him in priesthood, then obviously we've got to look at the priesthood. God set these things down in a former day just for you and for me. The Bible tells us that whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, and God wants us to get something from them. And from these lovely types in the Old Testament, it tells us something of the position that you and I have now in this day and dispensation. Now, when we were taking a look at the tabernacle at the conference, we were just simply seeing how that it came into being by the word of God, how that God himself decreed that he wanted a tabernacle. Child of God, it's God himself has decreed that he wants an assembly, and he wants you and me to be able to move before him. And as we saw a number of things, and I'm certainly not going to touch tonight, because I really want to be taken up with the priesthood that was in connection with that tabernacle. Because what we've got here in chapter 28 is that right in the midst of tabernacle teaching, God introduces the priesthood. He introduces those that are going to minister in that sanctuary that was here upon the earth. And right in the middle of the of tabernacle teaching, God introduces priesthood. Now that tells me, you know, that priesthood is strictly for the tabernacle. Some people, they would tell us all men that move before God and worship, they're moving in priesthood. Certain, I call them exclusive books. And they would have taught me many, many years ago that when you found the likes of Abel in the Old Testament, that he was moving in priesthood. They will tell you that when Abraham built his altar and offered his sacrifice, he was moving in priesthood. And they would say the same about Noah and about Isaac and Jacob. They were all moving in priesthood. But child of God, in the book of Genesis, those men are never called priests. People call them, that they moved in a priestly way as heads of the home. Well now, bless God, when a man in his home, he does lead his family in worship. That's what men ought to do, you know. I'm very thankful for Mr. Gill. Mr. Gill, on my wedding day, he simply said to me, he said, whatever you do. Well, there was about another 80 or 90 people there. He wasn't talking to them. He was talking to me. He said, whatever you do, raise a family altar. I bless God, we raised a family altar. And I thank God as the children came, they came around that family altar. And when they were old enough to read, maybe about 5 years of age, we used to just read round with the Bible. And they all had a verse to read. And we just kept going round until we finished the chapter. A little family altar. I thank God for that family altar. I hope you've got one. My family are going now, you know. And I'm not at home very much. But whenever I'm at home, I tell you there's not a morning passes and not an evening goes without my wife and I. We kneel at a family altar. I believe it's a great preservative. And probably one of the great problems that comes in today, particularly in the marriages of younger people, is that there's no family altar. I've often asked young folks when I've discovered that there are problems in the marriage, and some of them not so young either. You can get problems in your marriage when you get into your 40s, you know, and your 50s, if you're not careful. Mr. Augustine, that's how we say it in England. Over here, somebody said Augustine. Well, I don't know how you say it. Whether you have him as Augustine or Augustine, I don't know. You can please yourself. But we just simply call him Augustine. But I was very thankful for a little thing I read in Augustine many, many years ago. Take a little bit of reading now, but I was glad about it. Because in the midst of his writings, he just simply said, it's a man's responsibility to keep his wife's love warm. I went right home, you know. I read that when I was just a young fella. So I thought, well, I'm going to keep my wife's love warm. And I'm going to keep courting my wife. And I'm still courting her. Oh, she knows I'm her husband, and I know she's my wife. I've just started a pension. They tell me, I've not seen it yet, but they tell me it came about a week ago. I'm an old man, you see. Well, let me tell you, when we walk down the street, we still hold hands. I like to hold her hand before we got married. Got a few wrinkles now, you know. But I still like to hold her hand. I used to give her wee cuddles before we got married. Maybe that's wrong, I don't know. I should have taken my leaf out of Mr. Jones of the Jones University, where he believed that you should keep a very definite demarcation line until your marriage. And he would tell you that his daughter never kissed his fiancé until they did it when he lifted the veil off her head. Well, at least there's safety there, isn't there? Well, let me tell you, I did give her cuddles. And I still give her cuddles. Because she's still very precious to me. And I never forget the first time I saw her. I was just looking across the room. Oh, that's the first time I saw her to realize that she was good potential for a wife, you know. She was in the same meeting, of course, so I'd seen her hundreds of times. That's a nice girl. And I want to tell you, I still like to look across the room. Just to keep the love warm. Do you know what I've discovered? I find out that when there's a breakdown, there's never a family altar. Never. And they don't pray together. And they don't read together. When Abel offered his lamb, he moved as the head of the home, a family altar. When Abraham pitched his tent, he built his altar, the family altar. And every man ought to have a family altar. I never forget when I first went out into the work. I went up into the north of Lancashire. I come up, it wouldn't mean a thing to you, would it? London's down here, you know. We used to live up here, 200 miles northwest. And just north of us, Lancashire. I went for some meetings. I stayed with an old lady, over 80. I was just a young fellow. Before we retired to our respective rooms that night, I said to her, would you like to read with me? Would you like me to read with you? Oh, she said, I would love it. She said, I had a husband that never read the Word of God with me. He always said, that's a private thing. And that's a personal thing. I don't know how long they were married, 50, 60 years. And never read the Word of God together. What a tragedy. But when you raise a family altar, a child of God, you're not moving as a priest. You see, those men that built family altars in the book of Genesis, they're not called priests. You're moving as the head of the family. You're moving in responsibility before God. You're taking your family into the presence of God. But you're not moving as a priest. You see, priests didn't come into being until there was a tabernacle. And though you might find an odd priest in the book of Genesis, such as Melchizedek, or the priests of Egypt that Joseph wouldn't take anything from, you know, when he was taking tithes from the people. We have no definite record in the book of Genesis of men that moved definitely priestly for others in connection with God. Melchizedek, he moved from God to man, didn't he? Because Melchizedek came out to bless Abraham. But priests really are to move before the throne of God. And let me say again, there are no priests until there was a tabernacle. And the priesthood was ordered for the tabernacle. Now listen, child of God, that tabernacle is a very lovely picture of God's assembly. The tabernacle was where God took his dwelling place amongst his people. The tabernacle was where that people came and brought their offerings. That's where they brought the worship. Now let me tell you, that's just exactly what the assembly is today. It's the place where God takes his dwelling amongst us. God's here tonight. For we gathered unto him. And he's here that we might worship. And I want to tell you, worship's not just the Lord's demanding, you know. The Apostle Paul in the book of Romans chapter 15, when speaking about the gospel, he speaks about himself as an officiating priest. He uses the word minister, but it's not the usual word for minister. It's the word for an officiating priest, a man in priestly activity, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable. And you know what Paul saw? He saw every time he preached, what I am, I'm a priest before God. And any convert, why? That's the sacrifice that's moving for his pleasure. So when you men stand here, you just stand here and recognize that you're moving in a priestly way. Only if it pleases God to bless you, here's the offering up of the Gentiles, acceptable. We could go on with a number of things that are priestly, you know. But if I do that, I'll get bogged down a wee bit and we'll not get anywhere. All I'm trying to do just now is to try and teach us that that tabernacle was a picture of God's assembly, where God's honour dwelt. And it was in connection with that that God, he organised a priesthood to move before him. The priesthood was for the tabernacle. No priesthood before the tabernacle. And only in connection with the tabernacle. And child of God, we form a priesthood today. I could take you, of course, to the book of Peter. The good brethren here will know all about the book of Peter. When it talks about you and me becoming a spiritual house. That's the assembly, you know. Offering up, a holy priesthood. Offering up spiritual sacrifices. And here we are, moving in priesthood. Moving before God. I want to say a few things about that priesthood tonight. And I trust that God will bless it to us as we look at it. Now, the first thing I want us to notice about this priesthood was that it was all pure grace. We take a look at that opening verse. The opening verse says, "Take thou unto thee." I'm going to get bogged down again. But something just suddenly comes before my mind. "Take thou unto thee." That's Moses. He's the mediator, you know. But now linked with the mediator is going to be the priest. And a blessed thing. When that blessed man that has gone up to be the mediator, to bring all things into being for your good and for mine, we are now linked to the Christ of God, that we might be able to move before God in priesthood. But look again at verse 1. "Take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother, and his sons with him, from amongst the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar, Aaron's sons." And can I tell you something? There's nothing that tells us why God chose these men out. Nothing. All we've got is, "Take thou unto thee." And God determines who he wants in the priesthood. But child of God, it was all pure grace. And it was just the grace of God that separated these men from the rest of Israel. I love to think of the day in which they were separated. You'll read all about it in the book of Leviticus in chapter 8. And on that day, the whole congregation gathered before the tabernacle. And Moses went out, and he laid his hand upon Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar, and he separated them from the rest of that company. God could have taken anybody, you know, couldn't he? But these are the men that God chose. They'd done nothing more than anybody else. There was no reason why God should choose these. Oh, I might be able to give you a couple of reasons now. But my Bible doesn't give those reasons. I remember these sons of Levi that stood when moral sin broke out in the book of Genesis. You remember with Dinah? It was Levi that took the sword. He's going to deal with moral sin. And you remember when they built that golden calf? Who was it again that took the sword against those that had sinned? If with Dinah it was moral sin, and if with the golden calf it was doctrinal sin, Levi stood for God. He stood for God against moral sin, and he stood for God against doctrinal sin. And I could turn around and tell you, do you know why God chose these boys for the priesthood? Just look what they did for God. They didn't like to see moral sin coming in. And they didn't like to see doctrinal sin. Oh, here's why God called them out. But you'll not find that in the book of Exodus 28. I just thought of that, you know. In the book of Exodus chapter 28, there's no reason whatsoever as to why God chose these. Why didn't he choose Simeon that stood with him? In that day of battle with Dinah and so on. Do you know what I'm coming to, child of God? I want you to meditate for a moment. Here you are, linked with God's assembly. Here you are, with the Lord in your midst. And God wants a priesthood. And out of Bundaberg, or wherever you're from, God laid his hand upon you. Do you know what the Bible says about these priests in the book of Hebrews? It says, no man taketh this honour unto himself. What an honour. I can just see the rest of Israel. They're all gathered there. And I wonder if somebody says, I wish that was me. They saw the splendour of that tabernacle. These men going to be able to minister inside there. We'll never get there. Oh, I wish that was me. But just by pure grace, no other reason, God said, these are the men I want. And I look upon you, saints, today. And here you are, ministering in the presence of God, and moving before him. And the honour that God's placed upon you, just to move in priesthood, in the gatherings. Do you know why he uses the word priesthood? He doesn't use the word priests, you know. That's singular. For all the saints of God are priests. He uses the word priesthood, child of God, because it's a collective thing. And when this dear brother got up today to open the meeting, he wasn't speaking for himself, was he? He was leading us all in the presence of God. The priesthood was moving there. When these dear brethren got up to pray, they weren't praying for themselves. They were leading the whole company into the presence of God. Child of God, we have the high honour, and have the high honour of being able to move in the presence of God in priestly activity. And let me tell you, just the grace of God that has called you to it, and the grace of God that's called me to it. Do you know, years ago, when I started to study these things, I never forget thinking, I wish I'd been an heir. Oh, what if God had separated me? What if God had adorned me in those garments? What if I'd have been able to move in that sanctuary? I want to tell you, I'm very glad that I came to study a little bit more of the book of Hebrews. Because I want to tell you, I learned this. I've got a far higher calling than Aaron ever had.
and you've got a far higher calling than Aaron ever had. They couldn't take that honour to themselves. But, child of God, there was only one man once a year able to go into the true sanctuary. Even his sons were only able to minister in the holy place. Do you know where you minister? We had a great brother at home, a brother called Jack Hunter. I don't know that he ever came over here, did he? Did he come here, Jack Hunter? You wouldn't forget him, let me tell you. You couldn't forget Jack if he came. But I never forget Jack saying, he was a Scotsman. Brethren, the place of gathering is not the place of worship. You gather in your gospel hall, but you worship in the holiest. And when we gather in a meeting like this, child of God, this is our place of gathering, but it's not our place of worship. For we're going taken right through the veil. And every one of us are moving there, right before the throne of God, and it's the grace of God that's brought us to it. God has placed you in the priesthood, and child of God, we have this high honour of moving just simply in the presence of God. Will you notice, please? Number two is it was pure grace. These men were ordained by God. They were not appointed by men. I want you to grasp this. And I want you young folks to grasp this. If these older folks have not grasped it up to now, it could be a little bit too late for them, you know. They should have grasped this a long time ago. But you grasp this. Can I tell you something? You're in a place today that's been appointed of God. And you're in a position today where you're ordained of God. Do you know why I say that? They've got a massive system in our country called the Church of England. Now, I'm not criticising them, I'm just illustrating. Do you know who's the head of the Church of England? The Queen. She's the head of the Church of England. What an honour. Hey? You're not linked to the Church of England. Oh, they find buildings. They have a great big tower on the top of them, you know. They call them a spire. You ever thought? That's how Babylon began. It began with a tower. There it is on the top of the building. Go down to the Church of Rome and there it is on the top of the building. Even the Mormons have got it. Even the Muslims have it. The tower. And if any of you folks have been out to the Far East, as I would call it, and you see all these temples to Buddha and what have you, there they've all got the towers with the gods all the way around them. And I went over to Canada, and they took me to this little spot, and here's the totem pole. The tower. Do you see, child of God, every religious system has its origins in Babylon, and Babylon has a tower. Genesis chapter 11, and every religion of earth has a tower. I didn't take too much of a look at your gospel hall as I was coming by. Maybe I'll have to go and get a photograph tomorrow. But I don't think there'd be a tower there, would there? And this church that the Queen is head of, please. What an honour. You thank God that Christ is the head here, won't you? You're not linked with some small thing, you know. I wonder what on earth I was associated with when I got saved. Came into a little gospel hall, a little wooden hut. No splendour here. No towers here. No altars here. No choirs here. No priest in garments here. The black-robed ones, by the way. They're called in your Bible the Chimerines. And they all came from Babylon. Don't you think that you're linked with anything inferior? You're linked with what is of God. And you're linked with the highest form of worship that God alone can accept. And I want to tell you, there's nothing small about this work here. This is a mighty, mighty work for God. And here's a priesthood that God accepts. And the grace of God chosen you out. And listen, when I go to the Church of England down there, I'm only using illustrations now. They have an ordination service. I've suddenly decided I want to be a Church of England minister. So they send me to college. They train me. And they teach me. And they bring me to a... I think they call them a bishop. I don't know whether this man's one of the bishops. I don't know whether this man's one of the bishops. I don't know whether this gentleman's one of the bishops. You see, in the church they have one bishop over many, 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 many churches. God says, no, no, sir, we'll have a lot of bishops in one church. The assembly is so precious, I want more than one bishop. But these bishops are appointed by men. These bishops are ordained by men. And on a certain day, they bring the little water to do the rest with them, and they dress them all up. Oh, you take a look at the book of Judges, the last chapters. You'll find men that did that, you know, and took one man and made a priest out of him. Paid him a salary, gave him a clothing. Listen, child of God, all I want to get into you tonight is that here we are linked with God's assembly. This is what is of God. This is for the glory of God. And you, by grace, chosen out from the rest of humanity, just to move for God's pleasure here. And let me tell you, it was God that ordained you. It wasn't the Bishop of Manchester. It wasn't the Archbishop of London. The very God of heaven, child of God. What you're linked with does not have the Queen as head. You have Christ as head. And I want to tell you tonight, you're linked with something far, far. Can I use the word superior? Because this is of God. I feel sorry for those fellows, you know. I'm serious. I feel sorry for them. To think that they had to be trained and chosen and worked upon by men to give them the position. Child of God, this is all of God. And I want to tell you, it's something that is God-honoring. But come a little bit further. But I want you to notice, if it's all by grace, if these men were ordained of God and appointed of God, just as you have been, God chose you out for this. God linked you with the assembly. God says you're moving priesthood before me. And will you notice, please, when you come down to verse 1 again, take thou unto thee, that there might be something just for his pleasure. Now notice what it doesn't say here. It doesn't say that he may minister for me. Now maybe that's what the evangelist does, you know. He goes out and carries the gospel, ministers for God. Notice what again it doesn't say. That he may minister for me. That's what the teacher does, you know. He takes up the word of God and he teaches the truth of God. The evangelist ministers for him. The teacher ministers about him. Ah, but when we gather in assembly, child of God, unto him. For the whole object of our gatherings together is just that there might be something for God's pleasure. And God has chosen you. God has ordained you. And child of God, God has appointed you that you might minister unto him. Look again, we're down to verse 3. That he may minister unto me. Look again at verse 4. That he may minister unto me. Three times over in this opening section. This is what God says. This is why I want you to take these men. I want men that will just minister for me. And that will give me something. And child of God, a blessed thing when you and me, we can come together and we just minister just for the pleasure of God. Now, I want you to notice another thing too. Just in passing, will you notice that when we come to the opening verse, there are five persons mentioned. It says in verse 1, take thou unto thee Aaron and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. Aaron, a lovely picture of Christ, you know. You and I now are linked to Christ, able to minister for the pleasure of God. But will you notice there are five of them? But take a look again at verse 1. Take a look again at verse 3, and take a look again at verse 4. There's something wrong. I had very little education. The first 10 years of my life, I was brought up in the slums. And if I could get out of going to school, I got out of going to school. And I very seldom went to school. All those little early years, those vital years, you know, when they're putting the basics into you, I lost them all. I'm only just about now at 65 learning what verbs are and nouns are. I was just a wee thicky, you see. I'm still a bit of a picky. But be that as it may, one thing I did learn, even though I hadn't got too much of an education, I learned to read. And though I might not be able to tell you the grammar, I noticed that when you've got more than one, well, that's at least plural, isn't it? And you cannot use a singular word to describe plural things. Now, I've got to be careful because there might be a grammarian here and you might start telling me off a little. Because I'm not just putting it right, you know. But look, if I go back to verse 1, I would have turned round and said, take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. That's grammatical, isn't it? When you come down to verse 3, that they may minister unto me. Again, verse 4, Aaron thy brother and his sons, that they, but it doesn't say they. But I'm coming back again. Child of God, this is a singular ministry. They're going back when these brethren are in prayer. And what do? Aaron wasn't ministering for himself. When it was Nadab's job to be on the duty and light those lamps and tend to the golden altar and change the bread upon the table every Sabbath, when it was their business to offer that lamb in the morning and in the evening, and it was their, they weren't acting for themselves. They were acting really for the whole nation. And when a brother stands in a gathering, child of God, he is not acting for himself. He's acting for the whole company. For God sees this as one thing, just moving for his pleasure, that he may minister unto me, pure grace, ordained of God, appointed by God, for God's pleasure, unto me. Well, come again. Will you notice, please, they were all divinely equipped and fitted. That's why it tells us in these verses now. It says in verse 2, thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother, for glory and for beauty. They tell me that word is really for honour and glory. Doesn't matter just now. But they were going to make garments. And again, they were going to make garments in verse 4. And those garments, child of God, were going to divinely equip and fit them. Lovely what they made those garments of. You see it there in verse 5. It says, if it tells you what the garments were in verse 4, it tells you now what they were made of. Gold, blue, purple, scarlet, fine linen. For the brethren, you'll notice, please, that gold is first. For Aaron, he ever speaks of Christ. And when my blessed Lord took up his priesthood, this is a wee aside from what my exercise tonight, but when the Lord Jesus took up his priesthood, he takes up his priesthood as Son of God. Melchizedek was made like unto Son of God. The law maketh men high priests that have infirmity, but the word of the oath which is since the law consecrated the Son forevermore. Child of God, the Lord Jesus, he ministers as Son of God in priesthood. Maybe we might even take that up tomorrow, we'll see. Might change my mind. But all I want to tell you is, gold would tell us of his deity. And it's interesting when you look at certain aspects of this tabernacle, I notice that blue is prominent with some things because of the heavenly character of it. But when speaking of the priesthood, gold is prominent. But now if we've looked at the gold, the blue, the purple, the scarlet, the fine linen, tell me, where were these men going to minister? Oh, they're going to minister in this tabernacle. Will you come through to that tabernacle? Will you come to the gate? Before you even come into the court? What are its colours? Blue, purple, scarlet, fine twine linen. These are the precious things of God. Here's a man who is robed. And he's not going to clash with that gate. You see? He moves in past the altar. He moves in past the labour. And he comes now to the door of the sanctuary. There's a gate that brought him into the court. He comes to the door. What's it made of? Blue, purple, scarlet, fine twine linen. What's about him? He moves in through the door. And he comes into this glorious sanctuary. And here's a man dressed in gold, blue, purple, scarlet, fine twine linen. And wherever he looks, as he looks at those boards, gold. Looks at that lampstand. It'd be the first thing that met his eye, you know, because of the lights that were coming from it. Gold. The table over here, gold. The altar before him, gold. But the light as it's shining. It's shining on the tabernacle. Do you know what the tabernacle is? Oh, says everybody, that's the whole thing. No child of God. You take a look at chapter 26. The tabernacle was that first covering that went right over the top. You'll make the tabernacle, says chapter 26. And that tabernacle, if you look at it now, in chapter 26, it'll tell you, moreover thou shalt make the tabernacle, verse 1. 10 curtains, fine twine linen, blue, purple, scarlet, with cherubim, of cunning work, shalt thou make them. And as you see this tabernacle, the boards for the tabernacle, for the boards were to uphold the tabernacle. That tabernacle speaks of Christ in all his glory, child of God. We are the boards that uphold Christ. And here we are now, as that tabernacle came right the way across them. And when they moved in, where were they? They were in Christ. 96 times in your New Testament. Just a word for the New Testament. Do you know where you young folks are today? You're in Christ. And when this man moved in, if he saw the gold, he'd also look up and he couldn't help again but see the blue, the purple, the scarlet, the fine twine linen, the cherubim. Do you see that veil before him? Child of God. This man was divinely equipped and fitted. He wasn't out of place there, you know. He fitted into the surroundings. Do you know where you worship? Oh, the place of gathering here. The place of worship, child of God, we're taken to the holiest of all. And what does one man say? How can I, whose native sphere is dark, stand before the uncreated being? Because, child of God, we are ministered. Listen, get a grip of this. When we gather before God, little wonder there should be great dignity in the gatherings. Because we are standing before the very throne. Where angels stand. And we're ministering in the very courts of heaven. We live in the heavenlies, the book of Ephesians, but we worship in the holiest, the book of Hebrews. And if you could only grasp it and contemplate it, here you are linked with the only thing that God knows, the assembly. Far surpasses the splendor of men and all that men can do. And God has taken you. And God says, I want you to minister before me. Nay, I want you to minister unto me. And I want you to minister in a singular way before me as a divine company. But I'm going to equip you. And I'm going to fit you. And child of God, when we minister in the holiest, let me tell you, we don't move there in the flesh. You see, this man, whenever he came to, on the day of his call, when he came on the day of his call, I remember when Moses separated him from the rest of the people and brought him out. Do you know what the first thing he did? He washed him. He got rid of the defilement of the world, you know. And when God separated you from humanity, bless God, you were washed. And the mighty cleansing power. I nearly quote that hymn, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Hey? God washed you. But he didn't only cleanse him, you know. He then clothed him. And piece by piece, these garments were put upon him. And here was a man that was able to move in the sanctuary consistent with the surroundings in which he moved. Listen, child of God. Oh, this is what grace has done. The movements of the power of the Spirit upon your life and mine. As God has put away the filth of this world, at the moment we were saved, dressed us in with divine glory, that we might be able to move in the sanctuary. I tell you, this far surpasses anything that any man could ever invent as far as this world is concerned. This is something very precious. You're linked with it, and you're moving in the true tabernacle that God pitched, and not man. And here they were, divinely equipped and fitted. Can I tell you something now? It was these garments that made this man. What would he have been without them? Aye, if God had never touched his life, it'd have still been amongst the brick kilns of Egypt. It'd have been sweating under the heat of that noonday sun, and the groan that we discover in the book of Exodus chapter 3. The children of Israel groaned, and here was a man, and he would have been groaning. But God came in, and God delivered them. And God now wants to give them the highest honor of moving in the sanctuary before him. But child of God, to do it, he had to be divinely equipped and fitted. And without those garments, he couldn't minister. Look again at verse 3. Then it says, thou shalt speak unto all that are wise-hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may. And again, these are the garments you'll make, verse 4. They shall make holy garments for Aaron thy brother and his sons, that he may. If he's divinely equipped and fitted without those garments, he couldn't come in. Have you ever thought, by the good brethren, a little particular when it comes to who is going to be in the gathering and who's going to be amongst the saints? You know, it never entered my head as a young fellow that you had to be saved to be linked to God's assembly. I just assumed they were all linked to God's assembly. I did learn that I had to get baptized to be linked to God's assembly. Not that it was the door to the assembly, but I knew they wouldn't let me in until I got baptized. But I ever thought, child of God, why it is that these good men will insist that these people must be saved, these people must be baptized. That there are certain why? Because these are the very things that give us the garment. And a man of the world comes. Child of God, he has no garment. He's never known what it was to be cleansed. He's never known what it was to be clothed. He's never known what it was to be crowned as this man was with that mitre. He's never known what it is to be consecrated as the oil was poured upon him. When you got saved and the Holy Spirit given to you, what was God doing? Consecrating you to be able to move in the sanctuary. Why are we not so like so many in Christendom? That all they're interested in is names on the roll. Oh, we've 150 in our church, you know. And there's 150 on the roll. As I remember seeing a dear old lady of 98 in South Wales giving out gospel tracts. She actually was stood at the gate of a garden when I first saw her. And I started talking to her. She told me, 98, sir. And she said, I don't need what you've got there. She said, I've had my name on the roll of this church right at the side of her garden since I was born. Oh, I said, mother, I hope your name's written in the roll of heaven. I said, because let me tell you, if that church gets burnt down, the roll gets burnt down too, and you've had it now. You want to get your name a little bit higher than that? I got mine written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Is your name there? That's what matters. Can you conceive tonight, the place you're linked with. I thank God for what God taught me in connection with God's assembly, and the high honor of being linked with God's assembly, and the privilege of making me a priest, and God cleansing me, clothing me, crowning me, consecrating me, pouring the Holy Spirit upon me. What for? That I might be suitable for the surroundings in which I'm moving, and that I might be able to move just simply for the pleasure and glory of God that hath called me. I'm going to leave it there. But I do hope tonight that we've got a little estimation, and our hearts will rise, and we'll thank God that God took hold of me. No reason, but God separated me. A whole host there in the world, but he took hold of me. And he linked me with that which is divine. And he gave me the pleasure of moving before him in priesthood. And he's equipped me to do the job. And there's nothing can stop me. Can I tell you something? If you were in other systems, you wouldn't be able to move before God. For they would tell you, this gentleman here, he's the priest. You people down there, you're just the common people, you know. And the priest, he's got to do everything here. A dear girl was speaking to one of my sons recently. And she said to him, she said, you know, I wouldn't like to be in a place where they shut the women's mouths. My son just said, I wouldn't like to be in a place where they shut everybody's mouth but the priest's. Isn't that right? You wish a bit sharper than me, I would never have thought of it, you know. But I wouldn't like to be in a place where they shut everybody's mouths but the priest. Listen, child of God, we're all in that priesthood. And we can all be exercised. And I want to tell you, this far exceeds anything this world could ever produce. Because this is of God. And you are in the priesthood. And you can minister for the pleasure of God. And God chose you for it. Ordained you for it. Equipped you for it. You just thank God for the pleasure and the privilege that God has given to you. And move carefully before him for his glory.